I'm Jim Benson, and you're listening to TV Time Machine on Intelligent Talk, 1170 KCBQ. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and visit our show archives at tvtimemachine.com.
The lullaby of Broadway. And ballyhoo. The lullaby of Broadway. The rumble of a subway train. The rattle of a taxi.
We're back again with actress Mary Lou Henner, author of Total Memory Makeover, right here on the TV Time Machine. Mary Lou, the second season of Taxi ended with a fantasy sequence. We just heard it featuring that musical number. How did that episode, that concept, come about?
Well, as I said before, they were doing wraparound shows, and so every year they needed some like big idea that they could have like little pieces. And so they said, you know, what's going to happen is that Hervé Valchez is going to be, you know, left something in the taxi. So we start talking about fantasies. You know, what would all of our fantasies be? So I had mine kind of closed it up. And we shot that the 29th and the 30th of November of See, I have this date thing, so I'm always like flashing back on everything that we talk about. And, you know, they said, what do you want to do? And I said, I want to do a Broadway number, so that's what happened. And I was very excited, and Pat Birch choreographed it, and she and I had worked together before on two Broadway shows, and the guys loved it. They got to wear their little tuxedos, and it just the whole thing was so much fun. We had a great time doing it, so that was one of our big episodes.
Well, in 1983, Taxi went off the air after five seasons. How did the cancellation of the show affect you?
Well, first of all, it was canceled in 82 the first time. And ABC canceled us. And so we were all really, really sad. In fact, we had the famous Taxi wake that went overnight. I mean, you know, everybody like stayed together, like hanging out at Tony Danza's house, and then people went out to breakfast and everything else. But then May 15th of 82, which was a Saturday, Danny DeVito just happened to also be on Saturday Night Live. So we went on Saturday Night Live in his opening monologue, because he said, you know, ABC canceled Taxi, and in his opening monologue, he blows up the building. He said, but we never got to take our final bow. So we came out and we took a final bow, and Grant Tinker, who was running NBC at that time, was so impressed with the cast and the camaraderie and everything else that he picked it up for another season. So then we went on NBC, and, you know, same time, better station. That was like the whole campaign. We went on the exact same time. It was Thursday at 9:30. And then and then they canceled us after a year because, you know, people weren't watching NBC that much then. And
yes, that's true.
We had launch cheers and everything else. But we knew it was over. We knew for sure that it was over, and we had this huge party at the end. And, you know, it was like, I always feel like we should go back and do a couple episodes at some other point, because everybody looks great and everybody, except we've lost Andy and Jeff. But, yeah, I started doing a lot of films. I ended up doing five films in a short period of time and, you know, just have not stopped working since.
Well, speaking of working, you've become a prolific author. Your most
Told you I always wanted to be an author.
Exactly.
Even as a kid. Yeah, I've written nine books.
Well, your latest book is Total Memory Makeover. What inspired you to write that book?
Well, I've always been a real memory person. You know, even as a tiny little kid, I was called Miss Memory and the Memory Kid and Univac and things like that. And I've been teaching classes not only at MaryLou.com, my website, but also seminars all over the country in memory. I've always taught memory classes because I have a very unusual memory. Right now, I'm one of 12 documented people who has HSAM, highly superior autobiographical memory. They are finding more people, but the original 12 are like the ones that are documented in a paper that just came out a couple days ago. And we virtually remember every day of our lives. So what happens, what I do naturally, I know that most people don't even think to do. So what I've done in my classes and now in my book is I have techniques and memory prompting questions and just things that I've observed about memory through my classes and through the way I remember. And I'm trying to help people kind of unlock their autobiographical memories as well. It's not about memory palaces or pegs. It's not about memorizing a list or anything else. It's about using your own life to reinforce memories, to recreate memories or to, you know, spark memories, using dates from your life, for example, to remember numbers, or helping you with memory prompting exercises, kind of recognize patterns in your life and some of the mistakes that you may be making over and over again because you aren't recalling them with enough clarity and purpose and determination to change them. You know, I start with the famous Einstein quote of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. And
right.
I say, that's not insanity, it's bad memory.
Right. Well, as you address in your book, Total Memory Makeover, and it may seem fundamental, but what is memory?
Well, memory is everything. It's everything that we do. You know, it gets recorded or not. I mean, it gets recorded, and we choose to recall it or not. It's like every single thing that is part of us is part of our memory. You know, every single thing that you've ever been through is on your emotional and your mental hard drive. So why not be able to access it to be able to use your life in a more productive way? You know, let it bring it forward from your past to the present, and then let it inform your future.
So basically, through your memories, you're teaching yourself.
Oh, yeah.
From
and
the past.
Not only teaching yourself. I mean, for me, it's our strongest line of defense against meaninglessness that we have. You know, to me, being able to be able to layer the information of what I've just been through and to be able to say, okay, what are the life lessons I want to use tomorrow, today, you know, for leave the legacy for my kids. You know, why not remember it? See, I'm not here. I always feel like people shouldn't be here just occupying time. You know, like, oh, today's another day. Turn off the light. Go to sleep. Wake up. You live a day. Turn off the light. Go to sleep. You know, that kind of thing. It's not that you're just occupying time. It's that we're really filling up space. And what has it all meant? And if you're not constantly saying, okay, well, wow, I'm not going to make that mistake again, or wow, what made me feel good that time? Oh, yeah, by doing it this way. Let me try to, you know, do something like that because I know that that's going to empower me to feel a lot better. So it's just using your life as the best kind of resource and tool that you possibly can.
But the thing about memory, obviously, is that you have good memories and you have bad memories. I think people have a natural resistance, obviously, to conjuring up bad memories. How do they deal with that?
Well, first of all, memory is tied to adrenaline. It's been proven that it's tied to adrenaline, which is why you're probably going to remember those highs and lows anyway. You know, why not cushion them with some of the sweeter little Our Town moments that really kind of make the fabric of your life, you know? And so the negative ones, by turning them into emotional boogeymen and saying, no, I'm blocking those out. I don't want to look at them. I don't want to look at them. What happens is they're kind of hovering in the back anyway. Why not explore them for all they're worth so that it does take some of the sting off of them? You know, and I think that as a result, it's a very powerful feeling to be able to go back to some negative memory that was a crossroads for you and say, okay, it's been this albatross around my neck for a long time, this weight that I've been carrying. Now let me really look at it, examine it, and take the life lessons from it and be able to move on from it.
Or if you're not remembering them, you're repressing them. And
yes.
Like you say, it's
yes.
Affecting you anyway on a subconscious level.
Oh, sure. You know, I do really strong memory work with people. I always make people bring in an object or a scent or a taste or a fabric or, you know, something, some kind of sense memory object so that represents a turning point in their lives. It could be a photograph. It could be a piece of music, anything. And I've had incredible results with people taking them back to that moment and having them explore it, you know, so... And they're able to move on from there. They no longer feel paralyzed by it.
But there are also different types of memory. And when I was reading your book, it sort of occurred to me that it's sort of like a computer, where a computer has RAM, which is temporary memory, and then it has a hard drive, which is a more permanent type of memory, and it's the same thing with human beings.
Sure. Yeah, and that's what I said, that it's making you behave in certain ways, whether or not you're acknowledging it. You know, you might do so many things in your life, and you don't even know why you're doing them, but as soon as you kind of explore your memories, you say, oh, that's why I always have this kind of reaction when somebody treats me this way. Let me go back to that memory and really, oh, that person, you know, now I can see that they meant well or they were just awkward about it. And here I was so victimized and stung by it, but it was really their inability to, you know, because everybody's got a story. There's every single thing that ever happens to us has a story attached to it. And the more you use the story. Now, for me, my memory works automatically. I mean, it's just, you know, you name a date, I'm right back there on that day. And I, you know, or we were just talking about Taxi. It's like, boom, I'm right back in my body, looking out through my eyes. I am there in the moment on that day. So I have this automatic kind of thing that I do because now, according to this paper, there are like 9 different sections of my brain and the other people who have this that are very different from other people's brains. So, but I know that a lot of times people have more of an ability to remember than they realize they do. And it's a very powerful feeling when you can go back to something and say, wow, now I'm really seeing it with a different kind of clarity, and I'm seeing it with a different perspective. And the work with people and their reaction to this book has been, you know, just the greatest I've ever experienced in terms of helping people do something for themselves where they say, this has really brought results. So I'm, you know, very excited to be sharing this information with everyone.
Now, you mentioned that you have a website.
Yes, marilu.com, marilu.com. I have teachers who teach my program with me and for me. Right now we have a class going on called Viva La Vegan, which is just remarkable. Two of my members, a mother and daughter team, have just fabulous recipes and information. And we have so many great classes coming up this summer and throughout the fall. So, you know, we do some pretty special things over at marilu.com. And I've had a membership site since 2000 and just fabulous teachers and people who, you know, great information and recipes and all kinds of stuff.
And the best way for people to get your book, Total Memory Makeover, would be through Amazon or through your website?
You know, Barnes & Noble, Amazon, right. You know, their local booksellers, whatever. You know, I'm very excited about this book. I mean, it was, of the 9 books, this was definitely the most difficult to write because I would say to my brother who writes with me, Lauren, I'd say, well, what about this? And he'd say, too Martian. This is too Martian. But, you know, it wasn't a linear process talking about this book because, you know, the other books certainly, you know, something like Healthy Holidays, you start with January 1st and you go through, you know, December 31st, or I Refuse to Raise a Brat, or Healthy Kids, you start with childhood and you go up till they go off to college or something. And so, you know, you start with infancy until they go off to college, you know, or the 10 steps in the Total Health Makeover. It was the 10 steps in the chronological order I took. But, you know, talking about memory, which is so, you know, it's such a fluid conversation and so many different ways to approach it. So, you know, there was definitely a challenge there, but I really am very proud of the book and very excited to share it with people.
Well, Mary Lou, as you reflect upon your family, your career,
my 2 boys,
your
husband,
your life, both past and present, what are your thoughts?
Oh, that's a huge question. You can ask a better question like that as a host.
You have half an hour.
As a host, you have never asked such a huge umbrella question that it's an impossibility to answer. You know, I feel like, I guess I can say that I feel that I was inspired by my parents to change my life after they died, especially because I couldn't let their deaths be in vain. And I think that, you know, just my career has been, I'm very grateful for my career. I'm very humbled by all the wonderful things that I've been able to experience. And I'm just excited to write more, act more. I've got, you know, 3 movies coming out this year that I just wrapped one yesterday, as a matter of fact, just finished a movie yesterday. And, you know, it's just, I love my family. I love my sons and my fabulous husband. And that's another whole story, you know, with my husband, Michael, and the things that he's been through. But, you know, it's just, I'm just excited to see what comes next and to experience more of the same, but a better, even more improved version of all of it.
Mary Lou, it's been a tremendous pleasure having you aboard the TV Time Machine. Feel free to join us again in the future or in the past.
Okay. Well, they're both easy for me.
Exactly. This is Jim Benson. Join us again next time as our magical transport takes us on yet another journey exploring television's past, present, and future. You'll find your next adventure right here on the TV Time Machine. Lost yourself.